No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I am joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We are back today with a ton of topics from the last 2 weeks to get into, but before we do any of that, I got to tell you all to follow both Joe and myself on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure to follow the show, give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you also go follow the Joe Gaither Show and rate it 5 stars as well so you can hear whatever we miss on this program. We got a fun show for today with a lot to get into. Like I said, from the last 2 weeks, I was a bit under the weather last Friday, so my apologies for lack of an episode. But we are back today and better than ever. So let's start with what is likely fresh in everyone's minds, recruiting. Dominant performance for Alabama since we last recorded here in this studio on the recruiting trail. Alabama added not one, not two, but 3 5-star commitments and 6 commits overall since our last episode. So let's take a look at each of those guys, each of the latest members of the Crimson Tide's 2026 recruiting class. 5-star linebacker Xavier Griffin. Talked about this guy a lot on this show, talked about this guy a lot on Joe's show. Not going to spend a ton of time talking about him again, but you just need to know this guy is every bit of the, as elite can be for the linebacker position. Mm-hmm. When you watch him play, I have said this before, you see one thing to me, and it's Jahad Campbell. Alabama, I'm sure, is looking to replace a Jahad Campbell, seeing as he just departed from the team and was a first-round selection. And I think they got one here. 6'3", 200 pounds, extremely versatile, can play almost any role on the defense. He is freakishly athletic. He moves almost like a safety in some of these highlight clips that I've seen. And then you fast forward 30 seconds, and he's got his hand in the dirt, and he's bowling over an offensive tackle, sacking the quarterback for a 10-yard loss. And, you know, he can affect the game from so many different avenues. I am very, very excited about what he can bring to Alabama's defense. You know, there's a very good reason that he was down to Alabama, Ohio State, and Texas as his finalists.
Oh, man, Xavier Griffin, he looks versatile linebacker. I think a lot like Dallas Turner. He's been saying that the coaching staff is giving him the Jahad Campbell treatment, that they think he's going to go on the ball, off the ball. You know, Campbell last year, we saw him for a couple of years under Saban just playing a stinger, basically, but just playing inside linebacker. But last year, middle of the way through the year, or really even after that first third of the way through the year, they moved Campbell to the edge. Remember, he was recruited originally as an edge player. I think Xavier Griffin is very much in that Jahad Campbell vein of, oh, I can play inside linebacker, I can play on the edge, I can play wherever will disrupt the offense the most.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am just so excited about what he brings. It's such a dynamic talent. Can do so many different things for you. You can ask him to do, you can put so many different responsibilities on him. if you're Cain Womack, you kind of just throw him out there and say, hey, buddy, go play defense, and like he's going to get it done for you. So I'm very excited about what he brings to Alabama. The next guy that I want to talk about that I am very excited about, man, five-star safety, Jaire Edwards. One word when you look at this guy, when you watch this guy's highlights, when you look at his tape, when you look at his stats, length. So freakishly long. He's only 6'2", 205, but he has a 6'8" wingspan. Chose Alabama this past week over Oregon, Georgia, Auburn, and more. I mean, he had offers from just about every school in the country. He could have picked basically any program he wanted to go to, and they would have taken him. Super athletic, can cover the entire field. You know, you watch his highlights, and he's just moving sideline to sideline, basically taking away throwing lanes, taking away passing routes. I just think it's another guy who you can kind of just throw out there and tell him to go be a football player, and he's going to be able to do it. You know, of the guys in this class, he may have the most like college ready build. You know, you look at him and he looks like he could step onto the field week one and play against Florida State probably. I'm very, very excited about Jaire Edwards. We talked about him a while ago when there were some rumors that he was going to be committing, and then, you know, it finally came to fruition last week, and here we are. I'm, like I said, very excited.
I think Jaire Edwards, we talked about it. I've talked about it with Theo all this past Monday as far as we were trying to rank the five stars, like which goes on which, yeah, which finger for Kalen DeBoer's gauntlet, his Infinity Wars gauntlet. And I almost wanted to put Jaire Edwards at the ring finger, but I had to put Xavier Griffin just like you did right there. Xavier Griffin, number one on the Mary finger right there. I think we ended up putting Jaire Edwards third because we Sadarian Morgan on the pointer.
Yeah.
But I think Jaire Edwards on the middle finger because we're going to middle finger everybody with Jaire Edwards because his versatility was just – it stands out on tape. His versatility just – every single clip on his tape – on his junior tape, not a senior – on his junior tape – he's lined up in a different position. He's lined up playing deeper safety. He's lined up on the line of scrimmage playing slot corner, basically jamming up at the slot. He's playing outside corner. He's playing really outside linebacker, husky type nickel linebacker role. He just looks like a somebody who can do it all. When he committed last week, I quote tweeted, football playing Jesse. I don't know if that's just an old – that's a term I used to hear as a high schooler, my old coaches. You got to be a football playing Jesse. He just – wherever you put him, it looks like he's going to make an impact. And I think in the Cain Womack, speed, athleticism, length are all really, really emphasized. Explosion are all really, really emphasized. We learned that last year. I think Jaire Edwards looks like a perfect fit.
Yeah, I what he's going to bring to this defense is going to be very, very impressive. I imagine he's going to be a guy that can make an impact pretty early once he gets to campus. The last five-star that committed to Alabama over the last 2 weeks, maybe the, like you said, the biggest one of the group, the most important, the main piece here, the main stone of the glove, five-star wide receiver Sadarian Morgan. And I don't want to put too lofty of expectations on him, but he said it himself, so I'll go right there with him. This is Julio Jones reincarnate. Seems to be, at least.
Julio mixed with a little DK Metcalf. I think that you and really just how big is Jeremiah Smith? He's kind of in that range as well. I am the same comments about
Jaire.
The same comments about Jaire Edwards on the defensive side of the ball, you can say it about Sadarian Morgan. He's playing far out as the single wide receiver, as a single X receiver. He's also playing in the slot, and then they've even got him playing quarterback, basically wildcat quarterback from time to time, just snapping the football and let him run around the edge. I think that you have – my favorite part about Sadarian Morgan is what he is doing when the ball is in the air because – not to disrespect – it's Benjamin Russell, right? Mm-hmm. Not to disrespect the Benjamin Russell quarterback, but some of these passes in this junior film are not the best. And that's okay. It's high school. It's okay. But every single time the ball is in Za'Darian Morgan's radius, even if there's two defenders, one defender, three defenders all around it, he is, oh, I'll go up higher than everybody else. I'll go up and over. Like some of the, one of these passes on the early part of that film was so underthrown that it would have hit the defender in the navel, right? But Za'Darian Morgan stops his momentum, turns back, and reaches over the defender and basically takes it from the defender's breadbasket. I just think that when the ball is in the air, he's got this little gene or trait, whatever you want to call it, say, oh, I'm going to go get that. And I think that is super, super impressive. I think he's going to be a really special player at Alabama.
70 catches for over 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns in 2024 as a junior. Dominant, like you said, in just every aspect of the position. It's genuinely difficult to like find problems with his game when you watch his highlights, when you watch the huddle tape. I don't even know that I could put a negative for him. I really don't. He has the speed. He has the route running. He has the ability to fight for contested catches. He's just going to be a dominant talent, and I think will only continue to bolster Alabama's wide receiver room, which looks like it's going to be incredibly strong for years to come now. Alabama, speaking of that wide receiver room and speaking of these commitments still, the lesser-known names from the last 2 weeks, Alabama did add two other wide receivers as well outside of Za'Darian Morgan, a pair of three-star wide receivers in Owen Cabell and Brian Williams Jr., both of which still continue to fit into that mold of just lengthy guys that can stretch the field, that can add some verticality to the offense. Now, I don't necessarily think that Cabell and Williams will be contributing quite as early as Za'Darian Morgan may once they get on campus, but I think they're going to be good players nonetheless. We've talked about it, the Alabama staff this year and how they have seemingly put a lot of emphasis on evaluating and, you know, going and finding talent that isn't just the big five-star guys, but, you know, maybe some underrated gems out there that are hidden a little bit. And I think they've done that with these two guys. We talked about them on your show a lot. They just both bring a unique aspect to the offense that I think is something Alabama or Kalen DeBoer is really trying to implement.
Yeah, with Brian Williams, I think you really have a diamond in the rough because of how how little football he didn't play. He didn't play a whole lot of football as a sophomore. I think he was hurt, and then last year as a junior, he has a good year. But I think just under the radar recruit, he was a basketball player. And so I think that you're going to see him get more buzz through the rest of the year, through until December, when he inevitably signs somewhere, and hopefully he does stick with his commitment and stays with Alabama. And then Owen Cabell, I think the same sort of way. I think he's a little smaller division in Tennessee, under the radar. Maybe the high end college coaches weren't looking at that division as much.
Sure.
I can speak to that because I played there in Tennessee in that division, and we only had a couple guys recruited in my high school. So he went to camp, ran a great 40, camped really well. And I think impressed the coaching staff, and his size and length is exactly what they're looking for in the wide receiver room. I think that they think they found a guy in Owen Cabell, and really found a future, you know, maybe a potential diamond in the rough in Brian Williams Jr.
And the last name from the last couple weeks to mention, four-star defensive lineman Nolan Wilson committed to Alabama, picked the Tide over Miami, Ole Miss, Florida, and Auburn. 6'4", 250 pounds. He's listed as a defensive lineman, kind of plays all along the front there. If you watch his highlights, he's edge rusher. He's lining up inside some more. It's hard to project where even this guy is going to play when he gets to Alabama. I think he could definitely kind of play into that bandit role. I think that's kind of where he is right now with his build, but he could also, you know, you've seen him in high school. You see him on the huddle tape, he bumps inside. So he could bulk up a little bit and just kind of permanently bump inside for Alabama as well, I think. And then, on the other end of that, he could maybe cut down a little bit and play more of that that wolf role for Alabama. I think it's just he's very versatile. That seems to be a theme with specifically the defensive guys that Alabama is going after. Just versatility, the ability to line them up all over the field, and I imagine that causes all kinds of headaches for offenses when you're moving guys around from one position to another. You can't really get any good sense of what guys are doing on one play. So, yeah, I'm very excited about Nolan Wilson. I think his versatility is what really made him a priority target for the Bama staff.
Yeah, I think that they're going to get him on campus and decide whether he's going to play defensive tackle or bandit. And I think that makes him really, like his tape. And especially being right over in Mississippi makes it maybe an easier recruit and an easier recruitment and easier to get to know him. I think that Nolan Wilson is a nice little prospect. I think that he's got good hands and explosion, needs to work on his pad level, and probably needs to they need to decide on what he will be at the college level. But this defensive line class is really coming together.
Yeah, I think it certainly is. And you mentioned it coming together. It may still be coming together with one more guy who is out there for Alabama, who's actually, I believe, committing today. KJ Ford, four-star edge rusher from Duncanville, Texas. Now, this is a guy who, if anyone has been following his recruitment like I have, you would have seen that just this time last week or so, maybe the week before, he releases his top three schools. Does not include Alabama.
What?
Does not include the Crimson Tide. He instead includes, what was it, Ohio State. I don't have it here. Florida State, Ohio State, and I can't remember the third. But regardless, does not include Alabama in his final schools, and here we are on the day of his supposed commitment, and on three is crystal balling him to Alabama.
Do you think Keelan Russell gets in his ear?
That's what it seems like.
Keelan Russell and Courtney Morgan.
He was in Tuscaloosa for an official visit on May 30th. You can go to his Instagram page. You can look at the photos from it. One of them is taken alongside his former high school teammate, Keelan Russell. So you have to think that he played some a little bit of a role in that, if this is indeed what is going to happen for Alabama today. I think he's set to commit tonight at 7:30 p.m., I want to say. I could talk for a long time about that. I don't want... Just put your tweet out, give it to me right in the middle of the day. That'd be cool. Yeah, don't give it to me on a weekend. Don't wait for a Sunday. Don't wait for a Friday evening. I get so tired of these commitments.
Because you're going to be watching SmackDown.
I'm going to be watching not...
Friday Night SmackDown.
I'll tell you what I'm not going to be watching is a 17-year-old's Instagram live stream. But now I have to watch that because Mr. KJ Ford wants to commit late at night on a Friday. But that's okay.
Well, look, as a high schooler, he's got great parents. They're keeping him in the house. He's just trying to do something fun on a Friday night.
There we go. you do... At the end of the day, it is dumb for me to, like, get annoyed.
I'm just teasing you.
I mean, yes, but it is also, these kids are just trying to get a little bit of exposure for themselves and get their name out there and get some people to watch their thing. So, I get it, whatever. It just, boy, they have fallen on some unfortunate times. I don't know if I ever mentioned it on this show or your show, but Boston College had a kid commit, a couple weeks ago now at, like, 4 in the morning.
What?
Yeah, I was getting ready to go into a shift at Home Depot. And I'm getting ready for work that morning. It's about 4:15, 4:30. And I'm like, as I get ready to leave to go out to the car, I'm checking my phone. And sure enough, here it is. Oh, I'm happy to announce I've committed. What are we doing? Why would you announce this now? Oh, but anyway, back to the Bama topics. I do believe Alabama is in great standing with four-star edge rusher KJ Ford. Alabama will continue to roll on the recruiting trail, I believe, tonight. And we will... I have to imagine if you get KJ Ford, you're inching even closer to that top three ranking. Right now, I think you're sitting at 5th in 247 and maybe 5th in the on three rankings as well. But you're probably closing in on a top three if you get KJ Ford.
Man, and the meltdown from the opposing fan bases for you're going to hear, well, Nick Saban called KJ Ford. Nick Saban called KJ Ford and paid him $50 million. The NIL.
Nick Saban paid him from his own pocket.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
August 1st.
It can't just be that he has a relationship with the future quarterback who says, hey, man, things are pretty sweet here. you might like it. All the things that we liked together last year, they're still here.
In our last bit of recruiting news, we're going to flip to the Alabama basketball team.
I have a football note if you want.
Well, we got one. What you got?
That's come in as we were starting on Tank Jones.
What we got?
Tank Jones, you saw him. He's got his top three now, Alabama, Texas A&M, and Oregon. Hayes Fawcett writes for On3Sports / the new Rivals merger, whatever it is.
It's very confusing.
The recruiting is still like Rivals now. And On3Sports is like college football. Like, there's the designation, okay. I guess. But it is under the On3 umbrella. Mm-hmm. Hayes Fawcett has his little interview with Tank Jones, and he compliments Oregon. He compliments Texas A&M. He compliments Alabama. His Alabama quote, "I've been an Alabama fan since I was born. Just being on campus and seeing the atmosphere, it's been great. I always wanted to do it and play for them. The new staff they've got, I've built a great relationship with them, especially Coach C. Rob. He's been with me since day one, since he got there. That bond has been locked in ever since. The system they've got also, I feel like I can be in that system. Also, they're a great fit for me for life after football because I know they'll take care of me forever." He's got two nice quotes on Texas A&M and Oregon as well. I don't want to get into them because they're basically the same sort of.
They weren't as nice.
Great. But next paragraph. Jones took official visits to each program in June, and after those visits has a much better feel for each of his finalists. When asked about what school, quote, separated themselves from the pack, Alabama was mentioned. Jones's quote, "I would say Alabama. For me, they started off behind everyone because of the new staff, but they've been very consistent with me day by day. They aren't pressuring me for a commitment. They're very genuine and do a good job at that."
Love to hear that.
Alabama, quote, separated itself from the pack.
I think that right there speaks to kind of what we've seen, or it just continues to speak to what we've seen with this staff, and the way that they are approaching the recruiting trail is a little bit different maybe than the way Nick Saban did. It's maybe a little less calculated and cold and more based on building kind of relationships with the recruits and their families and everything like that. I leads me to believe that he is probably leaning Alabama, and you know, we've had a little insight here to some behind the scenes. There's been a draft sitting in our back end for I don't know how long now of his commitment to Alabama, so we will see if it happens. Like I said, I feel pretty good about it. I think I don't know if he's I think On3 gave him a crystal ball. Somebody, I think, gave him the prediction to Alabama. I may be making that up, though. But regardless, I feel pretty good about Alabama's standing with the number one prospect in the state, or was it Sedarian? He's either the number one or the number two prospect in the state. It's him and Sedarian, I think, go back and forth.
Yeah, 24/7 has Tank Jones as the number two prospect in the state. Let's see. On3 has him as number one.
Okay, so there we go. Yeah. I think you're in a pretty good spot to land him.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
But in the last bit of recruiting news, like I said, we'll flip to Alabama hoops just a little bit for a moment here. They were just a bit active this week, locking in an official visit for this fall with one of the top prospects in the 2026 class, a guy that I think you absolutely have to go get if you're Alabama. 6'5" shooting guard Caleb Holt, who is originally from Huntsville but is now playing at Prolific Prep out in, is it California? Is that the one?
Oh, well, they moved from California to down to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah,
they're in Florida.
Yes, okay. So like I said, originally from Huntsville, I think he played for Buckhorn, I want to say, was dominant there. And then, you know, as most kids do now with just kind of the way high school basketball recruiting goes, you transfer your senior year to some big prep school where you get more exposure, you get to play against some better competition, so on and so forth. You know, all these colleges come calling. Recently, Holt had a run with Team USA, the under-19 team, one that helped them win the World Cup. 10 points, 3.4 rebounds, 2.1 assists across six games, playing alongside none other than AJ DeBonta, a guy that we've talked about a lot on this program, which, by the way, like, super off topic, but did you see his deal, that his latest NIL deal, AJ DeBonta's?
Billions and billions?
An eight-figure deal with Fanatics for trading cards and memorabilia. An exclusive deal. Which, I mean, great, go get your bag and all, that's awesome, good for you, buddy, but, like, it seems crazy to sign an exclusive memorabilia and trading card deal before you're even a professional athlete. I feel like maybe you should have tested the water there a little bit, buddy. You probably could have gotten a pretty substantial bidding war after you're the first overall selection in next year's NBA draft. But I don't know. His financial people are telling him some interesting things. Another thing, like, do trading cards not count as gambling?
Trading cards?
Yeah, I mean, that's just gambling.
What? I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not good at
You're just buying packs that you don't know what is in there.
Oh, sure,
and
sure.
You are hoping
yeah.
to get a AJ DeBonta card in there. That has to conflict with BYU. Are they just? It seems like, because he's got a Red Bull sponsorship as well. I think he's got. I saw another one. I can't remember what it was. But something that also seemed to conflict with BYU's culture and standards. I mean, are they just letting him do whatever he wants, I guess, because he's AJ DeBonta and he's this good at basketball?
Yes. We don't care about rules.
Sure.
Is he allowed to have premarital?
That's not really what I'm wondering, but it is a little bit. Like, what kind of precedent does this set at BYU? Because we've talked about it before. They are going to be getting these kind of commits for the foreseeable future. Like, BYU is here. They are coming to the table. They're starting to land football commitments, you see, this year. They already landed the basketball commit. Like, they're there. So what is this? What kind of precedent does this set for the future of BYU athletics, where we are spending all of this money to get these top-end recruits, but we're just letting them come here and not do any of the stuff?
Well, you know, if you're good enough, if you're you know, the next Reggie Bush, if you're if you're Julio Jones type, if you're, you know, you're good enough,
very interesting.
We don't care about our rules and standards. I bet you with AJ, they're all sitting. I bet with AJ, they're like, just keep it quiet.
Just don't wear the Red Bull t-shirt at practice, right, and, like, we're good.
Right. Your off-campus apartment is where you have your is where you break the rules. That's where you break the rules.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, man. But back to the Bama topics. We did not get into this on your show this morning, so we will get into it here. Former Alabama running back Najee Harris was the victim of an apparent fireworks incident, fireworks explosion, fireworks accident, however you wanted to label it.
Dude, do not play with fireworks.
Yeah. Come on. Like, I just...
Can I go for real quick? Because I'm...
Go right ahead.
I'm sorry. This is just absurd. And I wanted to do this on my show today, but we just had too much other juice. But, like, you're a... Look up his damn contract. You're a million-dollar athlete. And look, I was in Nashville this past week to watch fireworks. We went downtown, and yes, it was madness. There was 300,000, 400,000 people downtown. But the fireworks show was immaculate. It was insane. It was great. I got my entire taste of fireworks right there. It was a 30-minute show. It was great. And you know how many fireworks I touched? Zero. I wasn't even close to them. And I'm not worth anything. I'm worth, you know, $5 here. They had a drone show. It was great. Dude, you are million-dollar athlete. Get away. I'm sorry. Let someone who's not relying on you and your paycheck light the fireworks.
Yeah.
That's the delineation of fireworks that I don't understand is buying your own. I have never grasped. I'm going to spend $300, $200, $3,000, $5,000, whatever it is, whatever number you spent on your fireworks. I think you spent way too much. I spent maybe $25, $30 in alcohol and maybe $40, $50 in food downtown in Nashville. And I watched a 40-minute show that was right in front of my face.
It's pretty sweet.
And I didn't have to risk anything. And so I think fireworks are super cool. I do. But I think they're not cool enough for me to be lighting my own. Unless they're, you know, the snakes and sparklers right there from Joe Dirt.
Yeah, I'm a bottle rocket, some firecrackers guy.
Right.
Like, you know, that's about where I top out.
And so to look, the rumors that were out the week earlier this week were terrible.
Yeah.
If you are not in the rumor sphere, people were suggesting that Najee lost an eye. Mm-hmm. And people were suggesting that Najee lost fingers, Jason Pierre-Paul style.
Yeah.
And apparently, thank the Lord, it's not that. Apparently, it's just superficial. Maybe a scratch here, maybe, cut your finger open, nothing that bad. And thank you, Lord, for that. But you got to be smarter.
Yeah.
You have to be smarter. Najee Najee has not lived up to the expectation that I have had for him in the NFL. He's been good, but he hasn't been great. I thought he was going to be Hall of Fame level great. Now he's moved to the Chargers. This will be his first year with the Chargers, right?
You have a chance. $5 million deal.
Right. You have a chance to revamp your career with a guy. Look, Jim Harbaugh has loved Najee Harris since he was in high school.
Yep.
And so you're paired up with a guy who has loved you since you were a high schooler, a chance to revamp your career and have yourself 1,400 yards, have yourself 12, 15 touchdowns, and cash yourself four more years worth of checks, four more years worth of $5 million checks. Then you're messing around with fire. I'm sorry. It is
foolish.
Foolish is an absolute understatement.
Yeah. Because, and two, like, you just mentioned him having this opportunity with the Chargers, having, you know, Jim Harbaugh, who loves him so much. And his agent did say he should be ready to go by the start of the season. Now, that's reassuring, I guess, but it's a bit vague nonetheless. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means he's fine now or if that he'll be fine the day before the season is supposed to start. We don't know. But anyway, like, if he misses any amount of time, you know who's right there waiting to Wally Pip him? Your rookie running back, Amarian Hampton.
And I like him.
And he's very, very good. So, like, Najee, you have just potentially put yourself in a really awful situation where you are already a bit behind the eight ball in terms of your, like, the status of your career because, like Joe just said, it hasn't quite gone the way that everybody anticipated it would. So you're, on a little bit of a prove-it deal here in L.A., and you go do this. I don't know when athletes will learn this lesson to stop playing with fireworks. Seemingly never, because it happens almost every year. There's some athlete injured in some 4th of July accident. You said it. You have more than enough money to pay someone who doesn't matter as much as you.
Sure.
Buddy. That's the rest of the wrong phrase. But you know what I'm saying.
Someone
who's not the breadwinner and the bringing the money for everyone.
I'll buy the fireworks. I'll pay you $100 that night. And we'll all stand 15, 20 feet back.
Sure.
And you'll light them up. You shoot them that way, buddy, away from us, into that open field.
And if, like, oh, man, I don't. It's crazy. It's just wild. Because also, like, with the amount of money he does have, because I guarantee these fireworks that he was messing with was nothing. It's not like he was, it was probably a lot of, like, things that you're holding, things that you are, close to your, probably not the biggest and baddest, whatever. So, like, you could have pretty easily just paid for a big badass fireworks show, gotten a crew of folks to show up to your house, show up to whatever property you want it to be, and just said, like, hey guys, here's 10 grand or whatever it is, give me a sweet fireworks show. And, like, that would have been nothing to you, Najee. That would not have really affected your bottom line that much. You're making $5 million this year. But no, you decided you have to do it yourself and play with things with your own hands and now potentially have, set yourself back for the upcoming season. We will just kind of have to see how that plays out. The only information that has been released is that it was a superficial eye injury, so we don't really even know what that means. Don't know how serious it's going to be.
I hope he's okay. That just makes me annoyed to think about one of my favorite players, and I'm sorry, I'll be biased, and one of my favorite players doing something dumb.
Yeah, it's frustrating. In a situation where most people would kill to be in, and, take care of yourself. do your due diligence for what you know you have to do to stay in that situation. Anyway, I want to go back to Bama hoops a little bit, discuss some of these now former players now trying to find their way into the NBA. The NBA draft was what, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
I think it was like right after the last show that we did. I think it was maybe that weekend or something, or that following week. But all of Alabama's NBA draft hopefuls went undrafted, unfortunately. But they did each sign deals with NBA teams. Mark Sears signing the two-way deal with the Bucks, meaning he will be a member of the G League team with a chance to compete for a spot on the main roster. And then Grant Nelson, Chris Youngblood, and Clifford Amore all signing Exhibit 10 deals, meaning they are competing for the competing throughout the summer league for a chance at a two-way deal. Grant Nelson with the Nets, Youngblood with the Thunder, and Amore with the Raptors. So far, Youngblood has been the only person to see any significant action. The Thunder have played, I think, 4 games. And he's got 45 points in 4 games. Pretty dang good. He took down Grant Nelson and the Nets last night. I saw Grant Nelson. That was his first performance of the summer league. Only had 5 points.
Grant got himself a black eye.
Yeah, I saw that. Got himself a black eye and had himself a nice dunk in that game. That was, I think he had a 3 outside of that. But getting down into the paint and may, you know, getting some work there. But yeah, Youngblood has been the only one that has really done anything. The Bucks played 1 game, I think, 2 nights ago. But Mark Sears was ruled out with a left calf strain. And then the Raptors are, I think, expected to play, I think, tonight. They're playing at Chicago tonight. So we will maybe get to see Clifford Amore in his first bit of NBA action. I doubt you'll see a ton of him, but you will get to see him regardless. That's really all I have there on the NBA thing. I think of those guys, I mean, the way it's going right now, Chris Youngblood looks like he's got a decent chance at getting up to that two-way deal. But I imagine Mark Sears will probably stick around in the G League for a while. Seemingly, Chris Youngblood may have a chance to do that as well. I don't know what the outlook is. You know, I don't know how good the outlook is for Grant Nelson and Clifford Amore. I think Grant Nelson, he just lacks the athleticism that you're kind of looking for. He doesn't have that quick twitch that you maybe really need. And then Amore's kind of the same thing, just a little too slow, a little too lumbering with his movements. You know, doesn't quite have that athleticism you're looking for to play in the NBA, I don't believe. But we will have to see. Let's see. Oh, man, I got one more thing to touch on here before we get out of here, and it is dealing with recruiting again, so we're going full circle on today's show. What the hell's happening in Auburn? I mean, just what is happening? You are down to 9 commits now in the 2026 class. You're at the bottom of the SEC. You are 78th in the nation. But, Joe, do not fret, for John Cohen has a plan. Quote from the Auburn athletic director here says, I'm here to tell you, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to be honest. We're going to be forthright. And we're very much looking forward to August 1st and the dates beyond.
Yeah.
We at Auburn are going to take that very seriously, but we're still going to win recruiting battles. We're going to do it the right way. And again, he says, I can't speak for the rest of the recruiting world, but I can tell you this, Auburn is going to do it the right way. Now, I don't think that he could define the right way if he was asked to do that. But what does the right way mean to you? What is the right way? This is, in their backwards mind, is this just we...
Well, I think it has something to do with the Deloitte clearinghouse and what's going on with Deloitte. If you paid attention to Ross Dellinger over the week, he's been, way too much legalese for me to even decipher. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But apparently... You've got Deloitte, who has cleared, 2/3 of the deals that have been submitted, but they're also not getting through the submissions quick enough. So you're getting guys missing out on deals because they haven't been approved. But what one of the big sticking points is making sure that it's not just team collective. You know, let's just make it Alabama. It's not just yay Alabama promising and giving Xavier Griffin X dollars, Y dollars. It's not just Alabama giving Sedarian Morgan. You got to have them connected to actual legitimate businesses and actual legitimate marketing opportunities. And I think that they will approve them if it's due to that. And I think that what Hugh's insinuating is that many people are still using their collective to promise these deals to these recruits, and these recruits are like, just name Billy Five Star, and Billy Five Star's hearing, $5 million, $3 million, whatever the case may be, And then on August 1st, these deals are going to be kicked back through by Deloitte. And that's going, I think Hugh Freeze and Auburn think that that's going to reopen some of these top end recruits' recruitment. And that's when they'll get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Freeze made an appearance on David Pollack's podcast this week to talk about the recruiting woes for the Auburn Tigers. And he said, quote, "There's a lot of people operating right now under a different set of rules because of what their interpretation of this settlement is. I think it's a long time. It's a long game play for us that's going to work out in our favor because we're doing it very transparent and the way we believe in the way we believe the settlement is written. Come August 1st, everyone's got to put this in writing, and we'll see where everything shakes out after that." So they are really, I mean, their entire plan for this recruiting class is just, hey, guys, please don't say mean things about us until August 1st. Like, is that just because nothing is going to change? Nothing's going to change. You might get one or two.
Yeah,
you might see a couple of these deals kicked back for these guys.
Some, but not enough to get Auburn in the mix.
No.
I don't think.
I think it's foolish to sit here and think that all of these top schools in the country, even with this settlement and everything that is getting ready to go into effect, you know, like have just continued to operate like in a unsavory manner. Like I don't think Oregon and Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia are all just like doing it super illegitimately. I'm pretty sure they're doing everything above board because they know they have to now. It's just, I don't know. It's very holier than thou, I think, of Auburn to act like they're in this bastion of like truth and, oh, we do everything the right way, when it's like, well, I think you're just losing recruiting battles.
Nuts. Very nuts.
Yeah, so in response to Hugh Freeze's comments and John Cohen's comments and really just the, you know, kind of vibe from Auburn this week, former Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron on his own podcast, The Dynasty, had some choice words for the third-year Auburn coach. He said, quote, "Hugh Freeze is full of sugar honey iced tea. I think he's trying to do whatever he can to save face. He is starting to feel pressure at Auburn." He's exactly right. I saw a clip of some Auburn podcast talking about this exact, it was, you know, a clip of a clip talking about another clip of talking of a clip talking about a clip. It was like clipception. But it was these guys on an Auburn podcast talking about this A.J. McCarron quote, which is referencing the Hugh Freeze quote, which is so on and so forth. But basically just trying to say like, well, I mean, who's to say A.J. McCarron's opinion even matters anyway? He's still mad that Hugh about the kick six. And it was just like, I don't, The level of copium for Auburn fans right now is through the roof. Man, oh man. I completely agree with what AJ says. I think that Hugh is absolutely coaching for his job this season. He's on a very short leash with the Auburn family. Things are not looking great over there on the plains.
Oh yeah. I think that Auburn, We've heard, I mean, Brooks Austin has basically, Georgia Bulldogs on SI, has said that that his sources have basically indicated that the Auburn money people are basically on pause right now because of a lack of confidence in Hugh Freeze. They want to see a result on the field this year, and if they see a result on the field this year, they will return on the money spigot, basically.
Yeah, and we're gearing up for 27.
Oh, my gosh. So Freeze at Auburn in 3 years, or 2 years, 6-7 and 5-7. Just not good. Not good at all. And so I think they want to see at least a 7-5, probably an 8-4, 9-3 is what they really want to see.
I would think so. I would imagine they're not going to be satisfied with anything less than probably 8-4. But I think that's all I got for today, unless you have anything else you want to throw at me. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at @MAWoods_@JoeGaither6. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama podcast.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.